Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yet another blessing to be with you today. And just here to praise the Lord with you. Amen? We believe in the same God. We believe in his same power. We believe in it all. And just because there might be a different little bit of denomination type of thing, we still believe in the same God. Amen? We're all on the same path together. Amen. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, or sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come out. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. Oh,
Thank you. That goes really well with the message. Because God accepts us just the way we are. As Danny was praying this morning, there's nothing we can become, nothing we can do, no way we can, no price we can pay. The price was paid by Jesus. He paid it all. And aren't you glad he takes us just the way we are? We would be in big trouble. All right, we're going to be in the 29th chapter of Job today. These next three chapters of Job, you know, we've watched poor Job have it all, lose it all, continue being without it all, losing his health, having his friends show their true color, you know, just no mercy, no any kind of charity shown whatsoever, criticism. I mean, here's poor Job. The guy's got absolutely nothing. He doesn't have his health. He doesn't have his family. He doesn't have his possessions. He doesn't even have clothes on his back. And one of his best friends come to him and say, "You know, Job, you got off pretty easy." How's that for friendship? So you can imagine there would be a matter of depression, a matter of anxiety, stress on Job during this time of his life. So we've watched him defend himself, talk about, you know what, I never did anything. I don't know why God has forsaken me. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. I never did anything wrong. And his three friends summarily tell him, "Well, you must have. If you didn't do something wrong, if you didn't have sin in your life, if you weren't hiding something, none of this would be happening to you. You need to turn around and you need to repent and you need to admit what you've done wrong, and then maybe God will restore you." And Job has maintained his innocence through this whole thing. He's maintained his position of you know, not having done anything to bring any of this on. He doesn't understand why he's going through this. He hasn't had this revealed. He didn't have the book of Job to read like we do, because we've seen the end. We know how this all comes out. We know that that this was a battle of wits between God and Satan. And he's just caught in the middle as a pawn. So he's been criticized. He's spoken up in his own defense. And now he's going to take three chapters. This is going to be his final issues of defending himself, of upholding his innocence. In this particular chapter, chapter 29, he takes what I call a sentimental journey into his past when things were going well for him. So hence I have named this or titled this sermon, "I Miss the Good Old Days." You ever hear that? You ever hear that phrase? "Oh, I miss the way things were in the good old days." You know, we think back to the way things used to be and how they were. And I have to admit, when I think back to when I was growing up, when I was a child, and even a young adult, things were a lot simpler, a lot easier before we had all this technology. You know, if you weren't home and the phone rang, they called back, right? Yeah, we didn't have an answering machine. There were no answering machines. We didn't have pagers. We certainly didn't have cell phones. You know, yeah, I remember party lines, yeah. But, you know, I affectionately call this a leash, right? Because that's really what it is. It puts us to where we are in touch all the time, and we don't get away from those things. So there are certain things I think back about, and I think, boy, I miss those days. I miss it when things were so much simpler. But you know what? We can't change it. I saw a sign one time that said, you know, either lead, follow, or get out of the way. Isn't that kind of where we're at? We don't have any choice. We can't go back to those earlier days. And so what Job is going to do here in this 29th chapter, he's going to reminisce. He's going to express some of his memories. He's going to remember back. Here he is, as I said, sitting on this ash pile, with no clothes. He's covered with boils. He's got no friends. He's got no food. He's got no possessions. He's been banished from the city. And he's thinking back, man, I really had it good. I had it all in my day. And he's going to kind of reminisce about some of these things. And you know, memories are important to all of us in living. It's an important part of having a joyful life. We have good memories and we have bad memories, right? We all have those. I think back to some of the things I did as an unsaved person, as an unsaved young man. Some of the behavior I expressed, some of the thoughts I had, some of the actions I took, things that I'm not proud of, things that I have in my past that I can remember that I wish weren't there, I wish could make go away. But there were other things in my past that bring back good memories, good thoughts. And, you know, God has empowered us with memories, whether they be good or bad, to remind us what has transpired in our lives. And we can use them in different ways. We can use them to appreciate our current circumstances, right? We think back to the bad times, the bad memories, and think, boy, I'm glad that's behind me. I'm glad I'm not going through those times anymore. I'm glad that I got through that. In some cases, it may have to do with health issues. You know, we've got several people sitting in this auditorium right now that are cancer survivors. Don't you think back to that time when you had that fear and that, you know, that not knowing exactly how things were going to transpire? And you're sitting here today saying, thank God, I'm still here. Right? I mean, we have those kind of memories of the tough times. We also have memories of good times, and I think in terms of those as you know, flicking back and flicking up. There's times maybe I'm going through some real stressful times, and I'll sit down in my chair and I'll close my eyes and I'll bring myself back to some circumstance in my life that was very pleasurable, and I can tell it brings my blood pressure down. It makes my heart beat a little bit more slowly. I can kind of travel back. In fact, some of you that have known me for any length of time know that there were years and years and years I would order coffee online from Hawaii. Why? Well, because, you know, the very first time Dory and I ever went to Hawaii in 1990, we went to a restaurant. And that was in a day and age when I drank coffee nonstop all day long. And so we went to a restaurant and I ordered a cup of coffee. And I remember taking a drink of that coffee, and it was like, oh, man, this tastes like it's been sitting on the burner for about 3 or 4 hours. It just tasted real bitter and kind of almost burned. And so I watched and saw them brew a fresh pot, and I asked for a refill, and they poured it in, and I took a drink, and it tasted exactly the same. Well, what I didn't realize is that's the way they roast it in Hawaii. Well, by the end of that first week, I mean, I was so in love with the environment, that coffee, I got used to the taste, I acquired the taste, and I got to love it. And so for years, I would specifically order this particular coffee from Hawaii and have it shipped to me, because I could take a sip of that coffee and close my eyes, and it would take me back to the island. You know, we have the ability to do that. Those are good memories. Those are things that we find pleasurable. And that's a gift that God's given to us, that he's given us those kind of memories, those things. I liked what Warren Wiersbe said, because sometimes we can be encouraged, but sometimes memories can be an anchor that traps us in the past. That's when we have to be careful. That's when we have to think back about the good old days and realize, you know what, we do need to move forward if we're going to survive in our society. Warren Wiersbe, who's a very famous Christian author and professor, I like the way he said it. He said, if we try to duplicate today with what we experienced yesterday, we may find ourselves in a rut that robs us of tomorrow. Yeah? I don't know if I put that in your bulletin or not. If I didn't, I should have, because that's a great way of thinking. You know, we can remember the past, but we also need to realize that we're living today. And we don't want to rob ourselves of some of the blessings that God has for us because we've anchored ourselves in the past times. Sometimes the good old days, somebody else said this, I don't know who it was, but I really like this one. Sometimes the good old days are just a combination of bad memories and a good imagination. Memory was something that God emphasized in the Bible. The book of Deuteronomy is known as the book of remembrance. The word remember is used 14 times in the book of Deuteronomy. It's summarized in the 8th chapter, the 2nd verse, where God said, "Remember that the Lord your God led you on the entire journey these 40 years in the wilderness so that he might humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." So God told the children of Israel, remember what you've been through in these 40 years as you've been wandering through the wilderness, because you need to evaluate where you stand and where you want to go, how you want to move forward. Psalm 103 and verse 2 says, "My soul, praise the Lord and do not forget all his benefits." That's what we need to remember. We need to remember God's blessings. We need to remember that God is involved in all things. Whether it's stuff we agree with or disagree with, God is in control of it all. And God is going to see us through difficult times, and sometimes we can use those memories to help us through difficult times in the future. But in Job's case now, he's going back to some of the good times. Chapter 9, he says, 29, I'm sorry, he says, Job continued his discourse saying, "If only I could be as in months gone by, in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone above my head and I walked through darkness by his light, I would be as I was in the days of my youth when God's friendship rested on my tent." He continues on, "When my feet were behind in cream and the rock poured out streams of oil for me, when I went out to the city gate and took my seat in the town square." Job is bringing about these memories from the past. And in these first six verses, he's talking about his relationship with God, talking about the relationship he had with God. You know, Job was a man that God said is of perfect integrity. No one else on earth like my man Job. He had a very close relationship with God. I think in terms of people like Enoch, who walked with God. The testimony we have of Enoch, he walked with God and then he was gone. It says he was not. He was not anymore. He was gone. Why? God took him. A man who walked so closely with God that God spared him of death. God spared him of any other future discomfort. God took him to be with himself. That's the kind of man that Enoch was. Job, a man that God would say is a man of perfect integrity. And so when Job goes into reminiscing, when Job starts to think about his past life, the number one thing he mentions was his relationship with God. Isn't that the way we should be? Shouldn't God be the first thing that comes to mind? First thing in the morning when we get out of bed, we should be greeting God. Last thing at night before we go to sleep, we should be acknowledging God. All through the day, speaking with God, consulting with God. I've shared with you before when we talk about prayer, how I had to get out of the habit of concluding prayers. You know, my prayer in the morning. It was so easy to pray first thing in the morning and then conclude with the magic catchphrase, "In Jesus' name, amen," so that I could go about my own business. You know, it was almost like I was punching a time clock. I punched my time clock when I said, "Dear Lord," and then I was punching out when I said, "In Jesus' name, amen," because that was the end of my prayer. Okay, God, you sit on the shelf now while I go about my business. And I got into the habit of not concluding prayers. Open the morning with prayer, but leave that line open. I'm telling you, you'll be amazed at how it will change your attitude. It'll change the way you face things because you always have that in your mind that God is still there. The phone is still off the hook. He's still on the line with you. He's still listening to every word you have to say and watching your every action. Sometimes we shut him out of our lives, and we don't need to do that. We need to include him in all things at all times. And sometimes it's just operating as simply as keeping that line of communication open with him. Say your Jesus name, amen, you know, when you're ready to fall asleep. Or don't even do that. You'll probably dream better at night. Acknowledge that he is with us all the time. And that's what Job does here. He acknowledges his relationship with Jehovah, with his heavenly Father. And what does he acknowledge? The fact that he was blessed with material possession. He was blessed with family. He was blessed with influence in his community. And he knew God had placed a hedge around him. That's what he's been talking about this whole time. Why did God chop that hedge down? What did I do? I never did anything wrong. Why is it gone all of a sudden? Why am I experiencing these things around me? Of course, the natural person, the world, looks at him and says, well, there's something wrong with you. It's your own fault. You made your own bed. Now you're sleeping in it. You better get right with God. You better acknowledge what you did wrong. And Job is like, well, what did I do? I never did anything. I don't know what I did wrong. And he was right. He didn't do anything. He even considered himself as being God's friend. God's friend, the best friendship a person can have. Has it changed? No. God's love for Job and Job's acknowledgement of his God hasn't changed. He knows that God still exists. You notice never once did he say God is dead. God doesn't care. God has abandoned mankind. He says he abandoned me because he's confused. But he never implies that God is dead or asleep. He knows God is still on the throne. And he knows that he's still friends with God. But, you know, and God knows that. And I'm sure God's heart is broken in seeing what's happened to Job, and yet God is confident in knowing that Job is going to endure, and Job is going to be true to what God said he would be true to, and that is victorious, never cursing him. So he talks about his past relationship with God. Then, beginning in verse 7, he says, when I went out to the city gate, I took my seat in the town square. I saw the young men saw me and withdrew, while older men stood to their feet. City officials stopped talking and covered their mouths with their hands, and noblemen's voices were hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. When they heard me, they blessed me. When they saw me, they spoke well of me. See, we're seeing some things about Job. We're learning some things about Job in this 29th chapter that we didn't really know before. We're seeing the amount of influence he really had. We're seeing the depth of his importance in his community. He says, when I would walk down the street, the young men would scatter. They would clear a path for me. The old men would stand. When I came to join them at the city wall, when it says he came to the city wall in biblical times and in Jewish tradition, the men would gather at the eastern wall of the city, and that's where they would discuss politics and discuss circumstances around the world, and they would express their wisdom with one another. Today, I think that's McDonald's. Dory's dad, when he was alive, every morning he would meet with a group of elderly gentlemen at McDonald's, and they'd sit and have coffee, and they would solve all the world's problems in there. And, I rarely go to McDonald's, but when I do, I've seen that exact same thing happen. Or sometimes, you know, one of my favorite places down here is Cafe Westminster. I'll meet some of you gentlemen there for breakfast, and I'm telling you, there's a regular crowd of guys in there that get together, and they're solving the world's problems. Well, that was the Eastern Wall in biblical times. The men would gather together, and people really revered them. They would go to them for advice. There were times when judgments were made, when there were court cases and things. It would go to the wall, to the men at the wall, the wisdom of the elderly. And Job says, man, they stood up when I came around. He says that they kept silence when I spoke. Everyone spoke well of me because my reputation preceded me. This is what Job is going back. This is the way life was for me. He's telling us, he's revealing to us his history. Beginning in verse 12, he says, "For I rescued the poor men who cried out for help, and the fatherless child who had no one to support him. The dying man blessed me, and I made the widow's heart rejoice. I clothed myself in righteousness, and it enveloped me. My just decisions were like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy, and I examined the case of the stranger. I shattered the fangs of the unjust and snatched the prey from his teeth." So Job has said here, I was God's friend. I was on a close friendship relationship with God. I had the respect of everyone in the city. They would stand when I would come around. They'd remain silent when I spoke. The young men would clear the pathway. And now he goes on to talk about his acts of kindness to other people. He says, I would give to the poor. I had the means, and I was a good steward over what God had blessed me with, and I gave to the poor. And I was eyes to the blind. He's talking about his acts of charity, talking about his spirit of giving and stewardship. I mean, this was a very kind man. He was a generous individual. I mean, if we go back to the very beginning, what did he used to do for his own children? He would offer sacrifice for each one of his 10 children just in case they, by accident, were to transgress against God. That's the kind of an individual that Job was. This is the life that he came out of. He's been maintaining his innocence. Now he's even saying, this is the life I lived. And it wasn't just a superficial desire to gain favor in God's eyes. He was a man of charity. He was a man of love. He was a man who really walked with God, a man of true integrity, a kind man, serving as an advocate for the helpless and a means of charity to the ones who were in need. But then in verses 18 to 20, we see what his mistake was. And he even acknowledges it. He says, "So I thought I will die in my own nest and multiply my days as the sand. My roots will have access to water, and the dew will rest on my branches all night. My strength will be refreshed within me, and my bow will be renewed in my hand." That was Job's mistake. He thought everything was just going to stay the same through his whole life. You know, ask yourself this question right now. Where you are at this moment, where you are sitting today, if you went back 20, 25, 30 years, are you where you thought you would be? No, very few of us would say that. Why is that? I can tell you unequivocally, 10 years ago, if somebody would have told me you're going to be leaving, you know, your ministry of 20 years in Brea to come to pastor a church in Westminster, you know, that would have knocked me off my feet. Of course, I was willing to do whatever God wanted me to do, but life changes. We experience major changes in our lives, and I think we have all done that. You know, Danny, did you 10 years ago have any inkling that you were going to be having cancer surgery? Absolutely not. Life is full of surprises. Life is full of changes. We are continually faced with things that we never expected. That's just the way the world works. Sometimes it's because of our own actions. Sometimes it's because of providential issues. Sometimes it's because Satan is trying to throw traps in our pathway. And we need to understand that. Job by nature is inquiring of God. God, why are you doing this to me? Was God doing this to Job? No, it was Satan. This all came from Satan. God was allowing Job to prove out what faithfulness really is, what it means to be a godly individual, what it means to have integrity. Satan is really polishing God's trophies in all of this. As much damage as his intent is to inflict against God, he didn't care about Job. Satan, believe me, throughout this whole thing, Satan couldn't care less about Job. He's just a pawn. He's after God. And because Job is faithful and Job continues in his integrity, it's like I say, he's shining God's trophies. But Job made the mistake when he was comfortable. He thought he was going to stay comfortable. You remember the parable Jesus told about a man that stored up all kinds of things in a warehouse and had all of his, you know, life lined out ahead of him, and he sat down and propped up his feet, and he says, "Here I am. I'm going to just eat, drink, and be merry." And what was the ultimate outcome? You're a fool. You know why? Because tonight your life is going to be required of you. James said in James 4, 13 to 15, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like smoke that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." See, if Job had any shortcomings, he revealed it here. He anticipated. He was making plans for the future. He said, "This is the way it's going to be for me till the day I die." Well, you know what, folks? Life doesn't always work that way. It would be nice. You know, people pay lots and lots of money to try to find out what's going to happen in the future. How many palm readers do you see their little shops popping up here and there? How many tarot card readers are there in the world today? How many times will people go to some medium or diviner in an effort to try to find out what they're going to be encountering in days to come? And these are charlatans, folks. Every one of them is a charlatan. They're thieves. They're taking money from people who have these false hopes of learning what tomorrow might bring. That's God's business. He's the only one that knows what a day is going to bring, and we should just be content and be thankful for each moment we have. You know, there's something to be said for living in the moment. I mean, we make plans, right? We make plans. We think, well, tomorrow I've got in my own calendar, I've got all kinds of appointments in this week to come. You know, a lot of them get broken because there are constant changes. That was his mistake. And in verses 21 to 25, we see what all of this brings, how it comes to us. Final verses of this chapter, Job says, "Men, listen to me with expectation, waiting silently for my advice. After a word from me, they did not speak again. My speech settled on them like dew. They waited for me as for the rain and opened their mouths as for spring showers. If I smiled at them, they couldn't believe it. They were thrilled at that light over my countenance. I directed their course and presided as chief. I lived as a king among his troops like one who comforts those who mourn." He goes through being friends with God. He talks about the fact that he had this relationship. He talks about the respect he got from other people. He talks about what a good person he was and how he tried to help others. He acknowledges that he had anticipated too much, and now he's going into the fact that this is what my benefit was, but they were temporary. Because Job is sitting here now on this ash heap, covered with sores, losing everything he has, and he's saying, "I had it. This is what I had." But he's speaking in the past tense. because it's gone. He had been respected and loved. Everything he said or did was taken with the utmost seriousness. And when he spoke, everyone was silent because there was nothing that could be added to his words of wisdom. But now it's gone. Now he's the subject of ridicule. See, life can change very quickly. People's attitudes can change very quickly. We have to be very careful when we set our confidence in people, because people will let us down. There's only one friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Job's time, society looked, they considered an honorable life as being signified by several things. If you were under God's protection, had a lot of children, you were wise in your stewardship, you held position, respect, long life, health, and status. Those were the important things in biblical times. Have things changed much? No. Those are the same people that we revere today. The rich, the successful, you know, our society looks on people of influence as their role models. Consequently, when those things are gone, society turned his honor into shame. And again, same thing happens today. When it's gone, you're just another person. You're just another statistic. Human nature allows a person's status to dictate their identity. That's just the way the world is. That's the way society is. Nowhere in Job's account does he suggest that all he had was earned or deserved. Job is a man of integrity. He never says, I deserved everything I had. I didn't. He never says that he earned his position. He acknowledges that this all came from God. It was a benefit of God being God's friend. Back in the fourth verse there, where we started reading today, he says, I would be as I was in the days of my youth when God's friendship rested on my tent. That's what he's saying. He's saying the only reason I had all of this that I had was because I had been God's friend, because of God and what he blessed me with. In essence, he's saying, you know what? It's all meaningless. Just like Solomon said, it's all vanity. I had it all, but I learned that it was all vanity. It was all just stuff. And Job is acknowledging there's nothing better than just being God's friend. We have to be careful when we start making value judgments about other people just because they have status, wealth, or the respect of others. Everything we have could be gone, just like with Job. And we could find ourselves at the receiving end of society's judgment because of circumstances. Believe me, the world is fickle. It's a fickle world. When you are on the receiving end and you've got it all, people love to be around you. But there come times in our lives when we face difficult circumstances, and where do they go? See, that's how you can really tell a true friend. That's how you can tell someone that really loves you for who you are, is that they're with you through thick and thin. And people, unfortunately, are not always very dependable, but the Lord Jesus Christ is always with us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Job took a look at his past, and he looked at it longingly. He would have loved to have it back, but you know what? He never in any of this asks God to return any of this to him, to return him to his former state. He remembers it, and he remembers it as the gift that it was, but he's pretty well learned now not to anticipate. I believe that Job really thinks that this is his final state and that this is the way he's going to leave this earth. We all experience changes in our lives, changes in our families, changes in our surroundings. Looking back with regret doesn't accomplish anything. Looking forward with hope and rejoicing, that is how we exercise faith in our lives. Just as Job, he's a man of faith, still knows that he's God's friend, acknowledges God's presence, accepting circumstances the way they are, not wishing, I mean, you know, certainly remembering the way things were, never asking for it to return. Job content in his current means, understanding you can't anticipate. Let's just be faithful to God and always know that He's with us in all circumstances. Father, we thank You again for this time. I thank You for Your presence with us. I thank You that in tough times we know You're with us, as well as in the good times. And Father, I pray that when we are in the good times, we wouldn't shut You out. We wouldn't become self-reliant or self-dependent, that we wouldn't just give ourselves credit for our circumstances. We know that all blessings come from You. Father, I pray You would help us not to anticipate, but that we would live in the moment and live each moment for You, dedicated to You and committed to You. Father, as we have a time of invitation, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Whatever the needs may be, I pray that You would just allow us to admit those needs and that we can receive prayer and encouragement, and more than anything, that our faith in You would never be shaken, but that we would know that You are our friend, the friend that sticks closer to us than a brother. And Father, that during difficult circumstances, difficult times, as well as in the good times, we would be faithful to You through thick and thin. Bless our time of invitation now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would, please.